Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll find out all of the great things happening at Camp Ripley this summer, and we'll hear about proposed legislation that could affect military retirement pay here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since the Revolutionary War, and every conflict since, black service members have not only answered the call to serve, but have lifted the Star-Spangled Banner to great heights. Our flag is not one color, though the threads are made of the same fibers. Different colors intertwine to create a bold, vibrant symbol of inspiration for our nation. The Minnesota National Guard is much the same. The Guard finds its strength not only in its diversity, but in its ability to weave together people of different faiths, cultures, and races that share common threads, values, and love of service. In the National Guard, we continually strive to enlist men and women of all backgrounds. Our goal, to reflect Minnesota's diverse population in our ranks, is ever present. This is Black History Month. It's time for us to reflect and to celebrate those that paved the way toward diversity. A time to remember the black service members who step forward willingly to serve our country, to fight for our flag, even though our country wasn't willing to defend their rights. This is a time to appreciate diversity today.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the commander of Camp Ripley in northern Minnesota, Colonel Scott St. Sauver. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
Good to have you in the studio today, sir. And for those of us, those listeners that might not be familiar with you, can you tell me, how long have you been in the service?
Well, I'm getting ready to start my 35th year in the service, and now for the last almost 18 years of that being full-time.
And all with the Army?
All with the Army National Guard. I started in the great state of South Dakota, and then in 1999 had the opportunity to move over to Minnesota, which has been the greatest move of my life, and my wife and I and our family are all living here and loving it.
And you're one of our officers that started out as an enlisted man.
I did. I started out in the enlisted side almost 10 years, worked my way up to the rank of staff sergeant before becoming an officer.
So that's why you had to put in a few extra years to get to colonel, sir.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's part of it, or maybe I just didn't learn as fast. I don't know, but it's been a great career. All of those years up until the time that I became full-time was in the field artillery.
What? He said what?
Yeah, right. I have a little bit of hearing loss. I think some of it's selective. Some of it may not be.
And Colonel, you're now the commander and have been for a few years of Camp Ripley. And I'm sure there's a few of our listeners that might not have heard about that, but 53,000 acres in northern Minnesota, you might have the best job in the Minnesota National Guard, sir.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, that I'm very, very fortunate to have a yard that's that nice. 18 and a half miles long, 5.5 miles wide, 18 miles of undisturbed Mississippi River on my eastern boundary, the Crow Wing River on the north, a Highway 1 on the west, and Highway 115 on the south, so it's almost enclosed. And it's awesome. My wife, Deb, and I are the only two people that live on the base, and we're very fortunate to be able to have that opportunity, and we don't have to mow. We can go out and see everything out every day. We have great training going on. It's just a wonderful place to be.
And you're an outdoorsman. You love to hunt and fish, and I know every fall you help support some hunts up at Camp Ripley.
Absolutely, you know, and we'll talk about that more. But you bet, we have a lot of outdoor opportunities for veterans and currently serving soldiers at Camp Ripley year round, and also for all of our state employees and employees that work for the state of Minnesota, because most people don't realize that Camp Ripley is a state owned facility. And so we have a lot of state infrastructure, a lot of state training that goes on at Camp Ripley, and we certainly welcome all those people that work for the state of Minnesota to stop by and see us anytime.
And this time of year, of course, all of our MnDOT snowplow drivers are doing a real good job because they were up there practicing on your turf, weren't they?
They sure were. They go through a training course up at Camp Ripley. I've had the opportunity to participate in that in some of those driving skills myself. And it's a heck of a way to ensure that our citizens are safe on the roads of Minnesota in the wintertime, because they really do go through a rigorous training program to handle those big trucks and those wing plows and blades when we need them.
Sir, Camp Ripley, you've got an airport up there, and the Air National Guard uses that for some touch and goes and some training. And, of course, you have the State Patrol up there. You have MnDOT up there. You've got Homeland Security up there. And then you've got soldiers and other people coming from two states or three states, I think. It's a busy place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from all over the United States, and we get units from all over. You know, we have all those groups. You know, the DNR Enforcement Center is also on Camp Ripley, so all the conservation officers in the state of Minnesota go through Camp Ripley for their training. Currently, if you went to camp, you'd find a lot of civilians and soldiers training. Even in the wintertime, we don't stop. We're getting busier and busier, and that's a very good thing for central Minnesota. So the State Patrol Academy is going on right now. So those new students have just arrived, and our next class of State Patrolmen are being trained at Camp Ripley right now.
And, Colonel, all of that activity has to have a huge economic impact on Little Falls and the surrounding area.
It does. It has a huge impact. We call it the triple bottom line. You look at what we do. So you mentioned it, Tom. We start with soldiers, right? The first thing, our first mission is that federal mission, to make sure that our soldiers, our Minnesota National Guardsmen, our airmen, our reservists that train at Camp Ripley are all ready to go and serve their country when needed. That's that primary mission, and we do that very, very well, and our resources are scheduled to do that. We have all of the ranges, all of the live fire resources and training resources that an active component base would have to do that training. Then there's the second part. That's that state mission, protecting the property and citizenry of the state of Minnesota. So ensuring that we have the ranges and infrastructure and classrooms and the types of training needed for all of those state agencies that need to protect our citizens on a daily basis. And then there's that third piece, and that's the community. I talk about it all the time. We're in the people business. We're in the customer service business, and a lot of people wouldn't relate those together when you talk about the military and the state. And we're in the customer service business. When a member of our, whether it be our civilian law enforcement agency or a soldier, comes to train, it's about their success, and it's about their success with us. So all of those have an economic impact because it hires people. Almost 1,000 full-time people come to work at Camp Ripley every day. On weekends, you'll see us surge to 3,000 to 5,000. Starting in March already, we'll be in 5,000 to 10,000 for the entire summer until late fall. So you can see it's a very, very busy economic engine working in the central Minnesota community.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauver, the commander of Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, you also on Camp Ripley have the Minnesota Military Museum there, and that's open to the public on certain hours as well.
It is, and I would highly encourage anybody, if they have not been to the museum at Camp Ripley, to please stop by and see the museum. It's inside the front gates of Camp Ripley. Anyone can come on Camp Ripley. Just bring your ID card. We bring your driver's license, some way to recognize you. You come on the base. You're more than welcome to see what we do, but that military museum has an incredible amount of history. It has an outdoor and indoor displays and is available for everyone. And the winter hours are out there. You can certainly look at them on our website. You can certainly go out and Google them online and find out more about the museum, but we certainly encourage you to stop by. And in the summer, they'll start their summer hours here very shortly.
And Colonel, Camp Ripley's a busy place. How do you maintain the relationship with your neighbors?
Well, you're out there talking to them. Right now, I'm getting ready to go out and brief almost 28 community briefings from everywhere, from townships all the way up to county governments, and telling people what we're doing. And how we're doing it. See, there's nothing hidden. We know that we make a lot of noise. We have a lot of airplanes flying around. We have a lot of helicopters moving around, and people want to know what we're doing. So what we do is we go out and we tell them what we're doing, and we do that all the time. We have a great Joint Visitors Bureau and a public affairs wing up there that informs the public all around the counties, because it's really Crowing, Morrison, and Cass on those areas that we affect. But Our traffic runs all over, and everybody sees us up there.
And, sir, you've got a program called the Army Compatible Use Buffer. Does that help you do with your relations with the neighbors?
It does, because that allows willing landowners to go into conservation easements with us. And in some cases with the DNR, there will actually be fee purchase for some of their projects. But for the most part, it's a conservation easement allowing us to not suffer from encroachments. Our biggest threat is encroachment by urban development. And we know that, and because of the work we do in the military, we have to be able to train those soldiers 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you know, and 7 days a week, no matter what the conditions. So having the ability to do that and using these conservation easements with willing landowners has been a very, very successful program for us. We currently have over 200 landowners that are willing to work with us on helping us maintain our borders so that we can do the training we need to do.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Camp Ripley in northern Minnesota. We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, visiting today with Colonel Scott St. Sauer, the commander of Camp Ripley up in northern Minnesota, and a member of the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, it seems like this is going to be, you always have a busy year, but this summer looks like it's going to be really busy. Minnesota National Guard is involved in the warfighter exercise, the exportable combat training center exercise, an open house, a court of honor ceremony. Where are you going to find all the time to do all of this stuff, sir?
Well, that's what we're for, right? So as I mentioned earlier, we're there to provide the resources needed by our soldiers and civilians that they need to train. And obviously, you mentioned some big ones. I know that Colonel Interest was here recently and talked about the 1st of the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team going through Exportable Combat Training Center. That's a very important exercise for an element of that size, because as they ready themselves to be war ready and then heading out to the National Training Center in a year, we do a number of these at Camp Ripley. So it's not that unfamiliar for us. It's a very big event for the Minnesota National Guard in that element. This year, we'll actually do three of those events. So this year, we'll have the 1st, the 34th, our own. Along with them, we'll have the 67th Battlefield Surveillance Brigade out of the state of Nebraska that will be doing their Exportable Combat Training Center, followed by the 196th Maneuver Enhancement Brigade out of South Dakota. So we'll have all those events running really back-to-back and simultaneously. At the same time, all of the other units of the Minnesota National Guard and South Dakota and North Dakota and Wisconsin and reserve units will be in training at Camp Ripley. So that's what we do. That's our go-to-war mission. So if you think about it in that context, you can better understand how we do our jobs up at Camp Ripley. My unit, the Garrison Support Unit up at Camp Ripley, their job is to ensure that those actual warfighting elements, those units of ours that need to be trained and ready, that we do that job every day. So we take that job very seriously. We're very proud of it, and we're given the opportunity every day to ensure that those commanders get the training and that those soldiers get the training that they need.
Sounds like you're in a massive hospitality business, sir. You got units coming and going all year.
It is. It's a very transient area, but it's a lot of fun. You ask any of the soldiers that work for me, the things that we get to experience on a daily basis, the customers that we get to work with, the military units, the flying units, the civilian organizations that we get to interact with every day that support those units, and again, those state agencies that come with all of those unique skills that we get to see, it's really quite an honor.
And, sir, while we're talking about people coming and going, I believe you've got the Norwegian Exchange Program coming into town shortly, and that's been going on for 42 years.
Right, 42 years. And, you know, it seems like they were just here because they came last summer. First time ever. That 42nd year was a summer exchange that we did. This will be heading back to a winter exchange. And here next week on the 13th, we'll be receiving 111 Norwegians. And then we'll be sending 100 of our soldiers, our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, airmen and Army soldiers, to Norway for 2 weeks of training. And that training is really now is started to change and evolve. And on our side, we're very much into interagency training. So they'll be working, the Norwegian forces will be working with our own soldiers and members of our law enforcement community, working on domestic operations exercises up at Camp Ripley. So it should be a very, very interesting time. And at the same time, our soldiers in going to Norway will have the opportunity to ski in the mountains of Norway and commemorates a very, very important unit during World War II called RIPA, which stands for Grouse. But the unit that's hosting in Norway, they were in charge of a lot of the counter-espionage and espionage during World War II, and they did a lot of the skiing that was supported operation called Gunnerside, where they took out a heavy water plant when the Germans were occupying Norway. And some of our soldiers will actually get to commemorate part of the routes and ski that route when they're in Norway. So it's pretty exciting for those soldiers to experience that kind of exercise.
be fun to see that. And if our listeners want to hear more about the Norwegian Exchange, we had a studio full of Norwegian officers last year, and they can just go to Minnesota Military Radio and put in Norwegian Exchange and find that show. That was a fun show and some great people to meet.
Absolutely.
Colonel, I understand you have a new education center going up at Camp Ripley.
We do, and we're very excited about this. A $20 million state bond that has built us a new education center, something that we very desperately needed both from the military and the civilian side of our business. It will be opening March 10th will be the actual ribbon cutting, and I hope to be in full use of that facility by about the 1st of May. And what that facility does for us is a number of things. It adds 48 hotel quality rooms that we need for two things. Our student population, we have a lot of military students that go through our regional training institute, and they need space to during their 4 to 6 week classes to study, to relax when they're not in school, and this will be hooked right to that education center. Also, we need that kind of building for our state services for conferencing. It's much more cost-effective for the state agencies to conference up at Camp Ripley and much more cost-effective in that kind of facility that's state-owned for us to do that. And so we're very excited about that piece now. There's a 200-seat auditorium. There's beautiful, huge classrooms, multi-story classrooms. This is all an energy-efficient facility. And probably the most important part for me as a base commander is that I have a dining facility, a consolidated dining facility to feed all these people that come through. And we can do about 300 an hour through this facility. And that's something that we've needed very, very badly to get everybody doing their things. But at the end of the day, you got to feed them all, too.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauver, the camp commander at Camp Ripley, Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, you've been on the show quite a few times, and it seems like not only you're in the hospitality business, but you're in the construction management business. Camp Ripley has to be one of the best facilities in the nation, and you've had construction going on for years up there.
Yeah, you know, the team over at the Construction and Facilities Management Department of the Minnesota Guard and the people before me and before Larry Herkey, my partner over at CFMO, he's just amazing. And his engineering team and the team that builds armories all over the state of Minnesota, they just do a tremendous job of building facilities, sustainable facilities that showcase and allow us to do our work. And Camp Ripley has been the benefactor of a lot of that infrastructure. And rightly so, in the fact that this is where we consolidate a train. And we consolidate those services and everybody wins. And both with the state and military, that's become quite a critical aspect of what we do. So that synergy for us has been a win-win. The state of Minnesota has invested a lot of time in infrastructure. The federal government and the National Guard Bureau have put a lot of infrastructure for our military science, and they link together, and they're used all the time.
We had him on the show a while back, and he was talking about the plan for the next 20 years, and boy, there's a lot of variables that go into that plan. He's got a big job too.
He has a huge job, and you know it. But it's that kind of processes that somebody did 20 years ago that have put us where we are today. So if Larry and I and the people around us do that now, just think what it'll be like in 20 years.
It's going to be amazing. I hope we're here to see it, sir.
Yeah, you and me both.
We just got a couple minutes left, but I know every summer, every fall, you've got some public hunts and some things going on for our veterans and disabled veterans and the general public. Another busy summer, fall?
Yeah, absolutely. Our outdoor programs are one of the best things I get to do every year, and I want everybody to understand, if you're a veteran out there, these hunts are for you. If you're a currently serving soldier, these hunts are for you. If you just retired, these hunts are for you. And so the turkey hunt this spring. Absolutely a fantastic event. Please sign up. The information's out there. Go to the Veteran Service Orgs, the DAV, the American Legion, the VFW. That's how you sign up. That's how you get involved. Sign up for these hunts and enjoy them. And then we'll follow that up in June with a fishing program, what's called Trolling for the Troops. Again, these are for veterans. Veterans, come and sign up for these things. Come and talk to us. Send us a note. Shoot us and we'd love to have you. And then, of course, everybody anticipates our deer hunts in the fall.
And one of them is a disabled veterans deer
hunt. It is a disabled veterans deer hunt.
And they just love it, too.
And there's a veterans hunt as well. Soldier, all services, too, by the way. These are not closed hunts. These are for all services. We, our friends and our brothers and sisters from the Marine Corps and the Navy and the Air Force, we want you to join these facilities and these hunts and come up and see us.
And, sir, I think you have an annual event where they come up for a camp too. The youngsters come.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have our youth camp every year, a couple and teen camps, and that's a great opportunity for families of our serving soldiers to come up to Camp Ripley and enjoy the outdoors and those events. And Deb and I try to participate when we can in some of those. I'm not quite as fast on the bike as I used to be, but we get out there and we love to let people enjoy our yard.
Sir, you've had quite a career, 35 years in the military, and we just got a few seconds left. What would you say to the young people listening today if they're thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, I think that it would be one of the smartest decisions they ever made. Like we were talking earlier, you know, all my children served or currently serve in the National Guard, and we didn't have to ask them to do that. It's just a great organization. If you want to be part of something bigger than yourself, if you want to give back, if you want to serve, and you feel that patriotism that goes through you every day, then come see us and come join us, because you know what? It's time for me. It's getting closer to me to just kind of hang this up and do something else. So we're going to need a lot of young kids to take over those roles.
A few more years of work before you go permanent fishing, sir.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us again today.
It's my pleasure. Good to see you.
This is Colonel Scott St. Sauer, the commander of Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back to talk about some proposed legislation that could affect military retirement pay here in Minnesota. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to hear about a proposed legislation that affects military retirement pay. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
Every veteran deserves respect and recognition for their service, regardless of gender. For several years, our veterans have received recognition of their service through specialty license plates. Now, women's veterans in Minnesota can purchase license plates that honor their military service. The new plates are inscribed with the words, Women Veteran. This inscription is a small way Minnesota can thank, recognize, and honor the service of our female veterans. In Minnesota, 29,000 of the 360,000 veterans are women. Any female veteran wanting a specialty plate should bring discharge papers to the Department of Motor Vehicles and request a woman's license plate. The application and fees are estimated at $20 per vehicle.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about some legislation before the state of Minnesota that will affect military retirement pay is Ralph Donay, who is chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota. Ralph, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Good to have you here, Ralph. I understand you spent a few years in the Marine Corps.
I was in the Marine Corps from 1964 to 1994. My career was in aviation avionics with a lot of training and management. So when I got out of the Marine Corps, I worked in Washington, D.C. at headquarters. I was the senior enlisted avionics E-9 in the Marine Corps, and that was my job, was to help the future Marines down the road and the programs that they had to deal with.
So top sergeant in the Marine Corps.
Yes, sir.
That's a good position, Ralph, and congratulations on 30 years serving our country.
Well, thank you, too.
Well, now you serve as chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota. Can you tell us what that is?
It's a group of veterans organizations that come together to work on legislation to help our veterans in the state, whether they be the active duty, the reserves, the guard, the retirees, all aspects of being in the military. We get a lot of great information also because we meet out at the VA in Minneapolis, so we get the latest from the regional VA, Vision 23. The director of each hospital gives us some input that's going on. We hear from the guard. We hear from one of your former people on the air here. She comes and gives us the yellow ribbon update at every meeting. So we get a lot of great information of what's going on in the state for veterans.
Lynette Kuiper gets around, doesn't she?
Yes, sir.
And Ralph, we want to talk today about House File number 59. And I just want to read from my briefing paper here. It says that Minnesota is consistently ranked in the bottom half of states to retire as a veteran. There are 2 million retired military members in America today, and Minnesota is home to less than 1% of them because we offer no retirement incentives to veterans. Every day a service member retires from the military, and every day a military retiree is given a list of tax-friendly states in which to retire, and every day Minnesota is not on that list.
Minnesota is actually at the top of one of the lists of places where you don't want to go when you retire. We have no active duty military bases, so there are very few services for a person retiring to come to Minnesota to receive. The commissaries, the PXs, all the things that you would have at a major base, we don't have in Minnesota. Minnesota has only increased 0.07 of a percent in the last 14 years that I've been tracking this.
Ralph, I think you made a mistake. You should have gone to Florida or Texas or somewhere when you retired from the Marines.
I live in Minnesota, as I've told many of the senators and representatives. I live in Minnesota because this is where Mama wants to live.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, yes, ma'am, to her.
I understand that. Now, it's my understanding that there's some states around us that have changed this.
Well, back in 2000, Wisconsin went totally exempt on taxing pensions. Iowa changed it last year. North Dakota and South Dakota don't have personal income tax due to their wealth and the other things that they have going on. So Minnesota is kind of in a little spot all by itself. Since 2001, when I started tracking this, Wisconsin has gained over $390 million into their state's economy that the retirees that moved there have spent in their state that Minnesota didn't have.
And what did it cost them to stop taxing military retirement pay?
Anywhere from, it depends on which figures you want to listen to, but it's probably $20 million a year, $25 million a year in tax that would come into the state. But again, when you get out of the military, you can't live on your pension, so you have to have a job. People coming out of the military are highly trained folks that have college degrees. Highly technical aspects of their jobs make them great employees. They know how to take and follow orders. They can get the job done. And so those are the primary people you want to hire, and they're not going to go to work for a minimum wage job. So they're going to be getting taxes from the men and women that come out in these highly skilled jobs. You're going to collect a good chunk of change from them. We've never been able to get the tax commissioner or anybody in that section to tell us how much money these retirees are bringing into the economy. They only tell us how much we're going to lose if we give up this pension.
Well, it seems like you've got some pretty good numbers from the state of Wisconsin. It was well worth the effort to suspend it over there and have all of that money flow into their economy.
Yeah, this year Wisconsin's going to bring in, well, in 2013, I get all of my data from the DOD actuary, and that's the government that part of the their accounting office that says this is how much money we're spending on the military retirees. In 2013, Wisconsin brought in $51 million more dollars into their state's economy than did Minnesota because of the pension exemption. More people moved to Wisconsin, so they're bringing in more and more money each year.
We're speaking with Ralph Donay, the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Ralph, can you give us a rundown on this bill? There's been a bill introduced again. This has been introduced in the past in the state of Minnesota.
I've been tracking this for 14 years, and there's been various stages of these bills for pension exemption over the years. And the current bill is just a flat amount, which was brought forward. And there's another bill that's coming up that'll be a $1,500 per year over 20 years that a person's pension would be exempt. So if you stayed in for 20 years, you'd get a $30,000 exemption. If you stayed in for 45 years, you'd get, you know, a $45,000, or if 30 years, you get a $45,000 exemption. And so there's various bills have been in different forms over the years. And there's one in the Senate and one in the House. And somewhere down the road, the conference committees have to marry these together when they get all done at the end of the session.
And who's introduced these bills this year?
Senator Gazelga has introduced it in the Senate, and Representative Detmer has introduced a bill in the House. So the two bills are a little bit different, but they both accomplish the same thing in that they give a tax break to the retirees coming back to Minnesota. And we like to call them second career rather than retirees, because they are going to come back to Minnesota. They are going to have another career here. And we haven't begun to even touch on the educational benefits, the medical things that the retirees bring back with them.
So what are the chances that this bill will get ironed out and passed this year? Any idea?
I would hope to say that it will get ironed out and get passed through. In past years, it's been what they say, put in the omnibus tax bill for consideration. Well, at the end of the year, when everything was said and done, the governor never had a bill to sign because the consideration went somewhere. We don't know where. We don't know why. And when you give them all these data of what a benefit it is, it's hard to understand sometimes why this bill doesn't get through.
And, of course, those of us that have been watching the state legislature for, in my case, all my life, towards the end of the session, those last week or two weeks, there's a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of things fall through the cracks, aren't there?
There it is. We have, you know, Veterans Day at the Capitol will be the 4th of March. And so we're hoping that a lot of the veterans in Minnesota come to the Capitol that day, go see their legislators, go talk to the people in the Senate, the people in the House, and let them know that all the veterans' bills down at the Capitol are important to them and that we need some consideration from those folks.
And for those people that are listening today and interested in this one, they can refer to it as House File Number HF59. And probably be a good thing for them to reach out to their state legislatures and talk to them about it a little bit.
Yes, sir. There's, like I say, there's several different bills that all basically say the same thing. And there's several, the Detmer, Uyghur, Gazelga. There's a whole bunch of people that have these bills. So you can read them. If you go to the Minnesota legislature, look up veterans' bills, you can find the bill and read it in its entirety if you want to know exactly what the verbiage says.
Hey, Ralph, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in a minute to talk more about this military retirement pay legislation in front of the legislature in the state of Minnesota. We're speaking with Ralph Donay, the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Ralph Donay, the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota, and we've been talking about a bill in front of the state legislature that will affect military retirement pay. And Ralph, just to recap that, this is a bill that's in front of the state legislature that would give some exemption of some kind to retired military veterans if they move back to Minnesota. We're trying to get it so that a portion of their military pay is not taxed, and get them back here in Minnesota, get them rehired, go back to work, because they're too young to retire usually, be part of the economy and spend more money here and become good Minnesota citizens.
That's exactly why we want to get them back here. One of the problems that we've run into is back in 2004, 46% of the military retirees in Minnesota were over age 65. Well, that percentage has now climbed to 53% of the military retirees are over age 65. So they're no longer working, so they're not bringing in any additional income. What we need are the younger veterans to come back to Minnesota to get those highly technical, well-paid mid-management, and even in a lot of cases, starting their own businesses to pay taxes and to increase our tax base in the state, along with the federal money that they bring in for education, for their medical care, all the things that they bring in, plus the dollars that they spend. I don't know too many people that move to Minnesota and instantly have a house. They have to buy a house, tax dollars.
Yeah, and these recent retirees are usually, after spending 30 years in the service, right around 50, and they're too young to retire anyway, and they can't retire in the military pay, so they need a job. So we'd like to have them come back to Minnesota and be part of a vibrant economy.
Right. MNSCU just loves the military retiree, because when we come back, normally they have a spouse. Sometimes you have kids that are college age, and the new GI Bill allows your spouse and your children to go to college. So it's a win-win deal for MNSCU in the state, so that the families come back, the kids can use the GI Bill, the wife can use the GI Bill, and in most cases, most of the military already have a degree. So that's not an issue for them, but their families can use the program. And that was an extra benefit to Minnesota if we can get those people to come back.
Now, Ralph, I think you had some more statistics to tell us that support the fact that this would be a good piece of legislation to pass.
You know, Minnesota ranks about 33rd in the nation for the amount of military retirees that live here. As you may have mentioned earlier, we only have 1% of those retirees or less live in Minnesota. Currently, we only have 0.89% of the retirees live here. And as I said earlier, that has only increased 0.07 of a percent in the last 13 years. We have a lot of industry in this state that would just love to get these folks back here to Minnesota. And over the years, I have had different employers say, what have I got to do? I email these folks, I call them, I talk to them, I try to come get them to come back to Minnesota to work. But because of this tax, they just won't move back to Minnesota.
And every employer is looking for a good, disciplined employee that will show up and give a good day's work. And veterans can provide that.
Yes, sir. And we have the technical skills. That's the key thing for Minnesota. We have a lot of industry in Minnesota, and the technical skills, that veteran fits right into what they need.
Now, Ralph, what was the date again for Veterans Day on the Hill?
Veterans Day on the Hill is the 4th of March, and they're going to meet in the Armory in St. Paul. As you know, the Capitol has a little bit of construction going on in it, so we can't use the rotunda. So it'll be in the Armory down
Cedar Street
in St. Paul. And there will be shuttles available to get them up to the state office building and up to the Capitol building should they want to go up and visit their legislators.
Ralph, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
This is an important thing for Minnesota. It's not about giving me a break. I've been doing this for many years. Well, you can see I've been tracking it for 14 years. And it's not to give me a break. It's to give Minnesota a break. It's to bring those young men and women that are so qualified back to Minnesota to help Minnesota become a better place than it already is.
Gunny, I appreciate you coming on the show with us today and telling us about the things that are going on. Master Gunny, yeah, United States Marine Corps. Sorry, sir.
Yeah, you demoted me.
Well, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But
thank you for having me today.
That was Ralph Dene, chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. Great to be back with you. I'll tell you what, time just flies. It seems like I just visited with you yesterday.
It's a few weeks ago, Sergeant Major, and you were on your way to Kuwait. How was the trip?
The trip was fantastic. I left on a Monday morning to make a quick pit stop in Washington, D.C., and then flew out on Tuesday night to head over. And I'll tell you, from that Monday morning until we left Kuwait on Saturday night, I think I got about 12 hours of sleep, but it was well worth it to be able to get the opportunity to visit with our troops over there, the 3rd, 4th Cab.
Sergeant Major, did you have any idea when you took this job that you'd be traveling as much as you are?
Well, I knew there'd be a little bit of traveling, and I was looking forward to it. I think that, the schedule, I can make it as tough as I want to. And, this is 3 years for me, and I want to make sure that I get the opportunity to visit every soldier I possibly can. So, it's a little bit more than maybe I anticipated, but it's well worth it. I've got to get out and spread my message and help share the Adjutant General's vision.
Sergeant Major, how did our soldiers in Kuwait enjoy Hockey Day, Minnesota?
They were having a fantastic day. If anybody got to watch any of the highlights or during the whole day, they did shout-outs and they did some. They showed some of the game that they were playing, and soldiers had a great time. Spirits are high. Everybody's looking forward to coming home, obviously, and, that's right around the corner. And, just like I said when I first came on, time absolutely is flying by, and that's what the soldiers are saying, too.
Well, it'll be great to welcome them back home, but I'm sure we've got other soldiers and airmen deployed all over the world, and we want to keep those folks on our minds and in our hearts and prayers.
We always do. They're always in my mind or on my mind, and keep them in my thoughts and prayers, and I hope that the, great citizens of Minnesota and all around the country are always keeping each of our service members in their thoughts and prayers because they're doing the hard things for us to enjoy the freedoms and liberties that we have today.
Sergeant Major, we got about a minute left. We had Colonel St. Salver on earlier in the show, and he was telling us about a really busy summer and fall up at Camp Ripley. That place doesn't slow down either, does it?
That place does not slow down, and it's getting busier. They've done a great job marketing the post itself, the resources, the assets available to not only other military agencies, but also the civilian agencies. And so, yeah, it's been great. It's been great for Camp Ripley to get that type of exposure. And I know that it's a top-notch camp and training site. So I can't imagine that the usage will dwindle at all in the future. It's going to continue to go up.
It's great to be able to have that kind of facility available right here in Minnesota to get our soldiers and airmen trained so that they don't have to be away from home any longer than necessary.
Yeah, you know, time on the road is time away from doing the training and the things we need to do. So to lessen that drive up is absolutely a great benefit for all of our service members in Minnesota. And, of course, the surrounding states that can come and use our post.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, absolute my pleasure. I'm glad I can do it, and I hope that you have a wonderful day, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Scott St. Salver, Ralph Donay, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelliteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear an inspirational story of perseverance and courage from a Vietnam POW and the years he spent in the infamous Hanoi Hilton. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.